Oops, there's a piece I missed a little bit.
Grandpa, why do we always pick up litter when we go hiking?
Well, we're just making it nicer for people who come after us a little bit. It's called stewardship.
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
It's called stewardship.
I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Thursday, May the 16th, 2024. As the announcer just told you, my name's Tim Wildman, and joining me in studio is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Tim.
And Chris Woodward.
Hello.
And we're in Tupelo, MS, and in Kansas City, KS, is our good friend Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
It's a lovely day here in Tupelo.
Good.
It's a nice outside.
You kind of look like you got your golf gear on, like ready to, you know, play 18 holes.
I would love to go, but, you know, life's demands won't let me go today.
And did I told say wife's demands or life's
well, both.
Good answer.
That was good.
Well, no, and I happily do my wife's demands. Don't try to do that to me, Fred. You know better than that.
Step back. The lightning is on the way.
Yeah, try to trap me. I have a good attitude about the whole thing.
That's right.
Yes.
I'll tell Allison.
Okay. It doesn't matter if I golf or not. I'd rather lay pine straw, make my wife happy.
And really, who wouldn't, right?
Actually, I don't have to do a lot. I got a pretty easy life with my wife. She does a lot. But anyway, yeah, it's a beautiful day. It's going to be about 80 something today?
80 something, mm-hmm. And we're going to enjoy today because
I got some storms on the way.
Not so good the next few days.
What about you there in Kansas City?
We have had some rain, but and it's kind. I'm looking at it. It's trying to move through. I think this afternoon the sun may come peeking through. I hope so.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen. We hope you're having nice weather wherever you may be. Summertime's almost here.
It is. So it is.
It's my favorite time of year.
But I've been enjoying the, it's been cooler than usual for spring in Mississippi.
Yeah.
And I've been enjoying that.
Yeah.
Very much so.
So, well, just wait. Heat, humidity, and mosquitoes, they're on their way.
You can't spell Chris. Mississippi without H-O-T.
Yes.
William Faulkner always began his novels about Mississippi with hot, sultry, summer day. But anyway, by the way, Ray, there was a couple touring our facility here at American Family Association, AFR Studios. And she is, I don't have their names here, but she's from Corinth, Mississippi, and he hails from Russellville, Alabama.
No kidding. No kidding. That's where I grew up. That's my old stomping grounds. A lot of friends over there in Russellville.
Yeah, he said there's a lot of Pritchards in that area. He goes to First Baptist Church, and is that where you?
Right, First Baptist. That's
in
it.
Russellville, Alabama. You still got a lot of family that live there, you said?
Not so much family now, but got a lot of friends. That's where I graduated from high school 50-some years ago, and I got a lot of friends in Russellville and Franklin County. Love to go back. Don't get back. You know, Tim, it's pretty rare for me to get back to Russellville. I was there a couple years ago for a 50th anniversary, you know, reunion.
Right.
Love the folks. Love the town.
Yeah. That's on the Mississippi-Alabama line up there, right?
Right. Right. You have Red Bay, and then about a few miles east, you got
Russellville. I got family ties to Red Bay.
Okay, you know. That literally is right on the line.
It is. Mm-hmm. You could probably stand with one foot in both, you know, the left foot in Mississippi, right foot
in
Alabama.
Right.
Yeah, that's a country song right there.
I'm working on it.
I got my right foot in Mississippi, my left foot in Alabama.
I got Steve singing the high part.
And I got a banjo on my knee. I think that line's already taken. All right, we're going to talk about what's happening in our world, in our country, and we thank you for listening. Ray, you got what's your good word for today, brother?
Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There's a list, who forgives all your iniquities, and that second one I'm hanging on to, who heals all your diseases. And tomorrow I go for my last radiation treatment, and I think about this. So many AFR folks have been praying for me, Tim, and I thank you for the updates you've allowed me to make. I mean, the outlook is good. The future's in God's hands. People ask me, Pastor Ray, do you believe in divine healing? That's the only kind there is. Mm-hmm. Because if it's healing, it comes from Almighty God. I was raised in a medical family. My father was a surgeon. My mother was an Army nurse. All three of my brothers were medical doctors. And I thank God. I mean, the radiation treatments, I thank God for them, and all this fancy medicine and all the great stuff. But it is said of the Lord, the Lord is our healer. The Lord is the one who heals. So, do you believe in divine healing? Yes, I do. It's the only kind there is. It just comes in many different varieties. And so, wherever you are today, don't run away from the Lord. Run to the Lord, because he is able to help you in your time of need.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good word. Yeah. Psalm, what were you citing? Psalm what?
Psalm 103.
Okay. I'll read that today. Oh. Encourage everybody to read that today. Mm-hmm. Psalm 103. All right, Chris, what's happening?
I have the honor and the privilege of introducing a good news story.
All right, that's what I said. Bring more of those.
Yes, I'm trying to follow through in that executive order because I value my job in this economy. happening right now in Washington, D.C., Speaker Mike Johnson, along with other members of Congress, are unveiling a statue of the late Reverend Billy Graham. It's going to represent the state of North Carolina in the U.S. Capitol. I have posted the link to this on our Today's Issues Facebook page. You can watch it live or on demand, thanks to how C-SPAN operates. Right now, they're just getting underway, so we will have more coverage of this later today on AFR.
Now, for those who've been to the Capitol building, U.S. Capitol building, and I have many times, and you guys have, there's something called Statuary Hall. Statuary Hall has these huge, impressive statues of historical people. What other kind of people are there, Tim? I don't know. I'm just, like Ray said, divine healing, it's only kind. Historical people.
It's the only ones there are.
I guess even if we're alive today. All right, these are people who had a great impact on our American history. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. But anyway, so it's always been represented by two people from each state. So each state gets two statues, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know in this situation if Billy Graham is replacing one of the North Carolinians that is in Statuary Hall, or is this a special designated place just for him and maybe some others who have been celebrated and as great Americans, Fred.
We are told it's a 7-foot bronze statue featuring a plaque at the base with the words, Preacher of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And the pedestal is engraved with two Bible verses, John 3:16 and John 14:6. You talk about the gospel message being front and center there. And so we just praise the Lord for that. And as you say, quite a celebration today. Franklin Graham is going to be there. And Speaker of the House, House Speaker Johnson is going to be there. So I think this is just tremendous. And I just think it's tremendous that they've chosen two gospel verses. Also, just a note here. They quote Psalm 145, 4, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Boy, do we need these messages at the U.S. Capitol right now.
Yeah.
For sure.
Amen. Well, I'll be seeing that in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
3 or 4 weeks.
Heading up there.
We've got our June Washington, D.C. Spiritual Heritage Tour coming up. By the way, we do have some seats available for the September trip. So if you want to go with us in September to our nation's capital, and including our visit to George Washington's Mount Vernon estate, which is a part of that trip, then it's in September. That trip is in September. You can read the itinerary, the cost, everything you want to know about it, including our visit to the United States Capitol building, where I'm going to see this Billy Graham statue. You can go to spiritualheritagetours.com. All the information is there on that September trip. spiritualheritagetours.com. You know, Ray, thinking about Billy Graham, Dr. Billy Graham, of course, all of us here remember him and remember in his ministry when he was alive and preaching globally. But I used to do surveys, Ray and Fred and Chris and listeners. I used to do surveys and still do occasionally on our tours to Israel and to Washington, D.C., Williamsburg. But I'll ask folks, what led you to being born again? Mm. What led you to becoming a Christian? And for baby boomers, the number one reason that they were a Christian is because of the ministry of Billy Graham. Now, that was outside of, you know, their own family. Mm-hmm. In other words, mom and dad led them to the Lord, okay? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But for people who were not Christians and were introduced to the gospel message and it changed their life, they say it was either Billy Graham evangelistic outreach, or an in-person Billy Graham event.
I'm not surprised by that, Tim, because Billy Graham preached to more people face-to-face than anybody in Christian history. I mean, hundreds of millions of people he personally preached to. And then he was one of the very first, I think going back maybe to 1950, when television was in its infancy. He started that television outreach. Then it had the radio outreach, Our Decision. You guys may remember Worldwide Pictures had the Christian movies that were shown.
Yeah.
Nobody in the last 100 years has had more impact for the gospel around the world than Dr. Billy Graham. And I got to say, in this politically correct world, I am amazed that the state of North Carolina was willing to take this step, and they can actually put that statue of Billy Graham up in the U.S. Capitol. And it's a wonderful tribute to one of the greatest Americans and greatest Christians ever.
Yeah.
I looked it up. The other statue honoring or representing North Carolina is Zebulon Vance, who I did a quick search is a former governor of North Carolina. I posted some links on our Facebook page if you want to figure out which statues represent your state or to figure out which statues are there, period. Do click on those links after the show, after you're done listening to us.
Yeah, he replaced somebody. Okay, here it is. Every state, I'm reading from the Charlotte Observer, every state is afforded the opportunity to honor two notable deceased people from their state. This is what I said earlier. In the U.S. Capitol, part of the Statuary Hall collection. The statues are kept in 5 locations around the Capitol. And then, but it says, North Carolina commissioned statues to 2 former governors, Charles Aycock and Zebulon Vance. And so, but after reading, anyway, so Dr. Billy Graham is replacing one of those. Who'd you say he's replacing? Aycock.
Mm-hmm. Vance is still going to be there.
Yeah.
It's already on their website, so they've already updated everything.
The Aycock statue had a good run. Mm.
Well, speaking of, Ray, do you know off the top of your head which statues represent Kansas?
I was trying to think about that.
I've got them right here.
I don't know. Who do we have?
A couple of people that we might have heard of.
Hold on.
Okay.
Don't say. I'm just going to guess because I want to guess.
Okay.
Okay. You just said one of them, Amelia Earhart.
Correct.
Kansan. I'm going to guess Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Oh, if I had a cowbell, I'd ring it for you right okay. now. Let me go down to my office.
Okay, so my guess is right?
It is. It
okay.
is.
Anyway, yeah. So what about Missouri?
I am looking it up now.
And I wasn't going on me seeing this in the
sure.
Remembering exactly, but I'm just
Missouri or Missouri, for those listeners.
Yeah.
It's Francis Preston Blair and Harry S. Truman.
I was going to say Truman. Truman.
And then sure. From the great state of Mississippi, shameless plug, we've got James Zachariah George and Jefferson Davis.
Okay. Well, and every state has two.
Yes.
Statues.
I will say one of the quotes, this was one of the things that popped up when Billy Graham went home to be with the Lord, and it's a famous quote from him, and it just shows you how courageous he was, because he would make comments sometimes when they weren't politically popular.
Mm-hmm.
But he was famous for saying things such as this, quote, "Christianity is not a white man's religion, and don't let anybody ever tell you that it's white or black. Christ belongs to all people. He belongs to the whole world." He said that in places where it was not popular for a white man to say things like that. I think he even said it in places like South Africa, where they were doing some things they shouldn't have in terms of public policies. But that was a really impactful quote that really spoke to me during the news coverage after he went home to be with Jesus.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Fred, Ray, and Chris, go ahead. Chris, next story.
Well, I want to direct our attention to something Fred posted this morning on our website, AFN.net. The headline is, White House refuses to release audio of Biden's special counsel interview. I'll begin by reading the beginning of the story here. President Biden has asserted executive privilege over audio of his interview with special counsel Robert Hur that is at the center of a Republican effort to hold Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress, the Justice Department told lawmakers on Thursday. So let's back up a little bit. Special counsel is put in charge of investigating Biden, and now the president has exerted executive privilege over audio of that interview that the Justice Department called for, and we are not going to be able to find out very much in terms of what Mr. Hur and Biden discussed in that interview.
Well, I think what the Republicans wanted, and lawmakers, I think constitutionally, can say we want to see the evidence that the special counsel came forward with, because this had to do with the documents that Joe Biden kept in his garage and several other places, privileged documents. And the special counsel, you remember, Robert Hur, said yes, the current president was indeed guilty of having classified documents, including giving some to his ghostwriter. But remember what Hur said that got the Democrats really upset? Hur said, you know, yes, he did have those classified documents in unsecure places, but you know what? We interviewed this 81-year-old man, and, you know, he had lapses of memory, and we don't think a jury would find him guilty. They would feel sorry for him. So the Democrats were glad that Hur said, I'm not going to recommend any charges, but they were really upset that Hur basically agreed with a lot of people that Joe Biden is having great lapses in memory. So they went to the Justice Department, Republicans in the House. They said, we want the audio so we can listen to the full interview ourselves. Garland has stonewalled them on that, and they were going to charge Garland, the Attorney General, with contempt of Congress. But this morning, what happened was, through the Justice Department, the White House basically said, President Biden is evoking executive privilege, and we're not going to turn that audio over.
What's so secret about that audio that they want to hide it? They don't want it out there for public to see. I don't get it.
Well, it's very interesting. In the Associated Press story that we put on AFN, our website, the Associated Press says the White House memo is a tacit admission that there are moments from the interview it fears portray Biden in a negative light in an election year. And that could be exacerbated by the release or selective release of the audio.
That's not a good enough reason.
No.
That's not a good enough reason our boss looks bad. That's not a good enough reason to for the American public not to be able to see. Now, if you got top secret information that's being discussed that doesn't need to be in the public domain, you could redact that or splice that up if you wanted to. But just to carte blanche say nobody's going to see this, and the reason is because it makes our it makes Joe Biden looks like a bumbling idiot. That's not a, those are my words, not or at least maybe a bumbling idiot's too strong because I hadn't even seen it. But someone who has serious mental decline, and it becomes obvious by watching the video, and also it proves that the gentleman who did the investigation, who interviewed Biden, was correct in his assessment.
Yes,
of his mental state.
Match that with the criticisms and the concerns today from people on the right that networks are trying to protect and help the president with these upcoming debates. For example, the first one is going to be the one in late June, is going to be on CNN in front of little to no audience. He's got friendly people there at CNN serving as moderators. Similar situation there in September. And I have some audio.
What do you mean similar? Oh, that was Fox.
Well, it's going to be the Fox is September is
no September is ABC.
Yes,
Fox is shut out of this altogether.
So he has arguably friendly networks environments hosting him and Donald Trump in a debate to make him look better. I think.
Gotcha. Well, go ahead.
By the way, just before I came in the studio, the Vice President's office, Vice President Harris's office, announced that she has accepted. This is the headline. A debate invite from CBS. Now, this is very interesting. CNN is going to host the first debate with Trump and Biden. CNN hates Donald Trump. ABC, home of George Stephanopoulos, who also dislikes Trump, is going to host the debate in September. And now you have Vice President Harris' office saying, hey, you know what? CBS invited me to have a debate with the whoever the eventual Trump running mate is, and I'm only too happy to do that.
Yeah.
These are all media who dislike Trump with a passion.
Yes, but Trump was the one who
I know.
Trump was the one who said anytime, anywhere, place, anywhere.
That's right.
Were you in the news meeting this morning? I didn't see
you. Oh, yeah. Well, Trump said anytime, anywhere, any place.
Yeah.
And this is my own personal opinion. But I don't think Trump I don't think Trump expected Biden to accept the debate challenge.
Clearly.
And then he did. And it's like, okay, I've got to do any place, anytime, anywhere. Go ahead.
Well, I think it doesn't matter because I think Joe Biden is going to be exposed. And I want to say, I feel sorry. I'm sad about this. I don't like to see the leader of our country exposed on stage live going against Donald Trump. I mean, I think Trump is an unguided missile. We know that, right? We've talked about that. He can say anything at any time. Joe Biden, I think, given his cognitive decline, he is in a bad way. I find it hard to believe that his advisors agreed that he should do any debates with Donald Trump because I don't think that's going to go well for the president.
Yeah. Okay, a couple things, Fred. I'm just going to offer a possible reason why it may be advantageous for Trump to do these interviews outside of a friendly place like Fox News for him, or Newsmax or somewhere like that, a more conservative network, is he might, if he does well, it would expose him a little bit more to maybe some more independent minded voters. I don't
possibly
know. I'm just guessing. I will say this. I'm pretty much like you, Ray. I think you could vote today and it's not going to be any different than voting in November.
That's right. Yeah.
And you could have 75 debates and it's really not going to change. People are pretty well fixed on whether they like Trump or don't like Trump, or they like Biden or don't like Biden, or who they prefer among the two. And interesting, RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he's saying, hey, what about me? I have enough support to be eligible to be a part of this debate with Biden and Trump. And Fred, when we get back from the break, maybe you can explain why RFK Jr. may be shut out.
Yes, well, because this debate is not sponsored by the debate commission.
Right.
So it's the rules that Biden and CNN come up with.
Right. All right, we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Our website is afr.net, afr.net. If you go there, you can listen live. You can also listen to any of our shows because we offer them as a podcast. So if you missed today's issues and you want to listen to it later in the day or this evening, you can just go on the American Family Radio website, click on podcast. There it is. There's our banner for today's issues and any of the other shows that we have here on AFR. So take advantage of the podcast if you missed the live program. Tim, Fred, and Chris in studio here in Tupelo, MS, in Kansas City, KS, is Ray Pritchard. And in the countryside of North Carolina resides Dr. Alex McFarland. Good morning, Alex.
Amen. In the beautiful Carolina countryside.
He's somewhere between Mayberry and Mount Pilot.
Amen. And Siler City. Mm-hmm. That's a little reference for the Andy Griffith fans out there.
Okay. So that Siler City was a fictional town named by Andy Griffith?
Oh, actually, it's a real town.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they referenced it a couple of times. And there was actually a real gas station called Bill and Bill's. And they referenced that in the Andy Griffith show. So really? There was a lot of really, you know, places and people that they name checked.
It's a great show.
Now, was Andy Griffith from North Carolina?
He was. He was born. I've actually preached like a block away from where he was born in a town called Mount Airy. And I'm going to geek out on Andy Griffith here. they reference Mount Pilot. But right near Mount Airy is Pilot Mountain. Hmm. In fact, Angie and I have hiked it before, but they call Mayberry, which is kind of a soft rhyme like Mount Airy. But, yeah, he
okay,
was
okay, I got Carolina. You. So Andy Griffith wrote the show.
Oh, yeah.
And he wrote his own show, so he was referencing back to his where he was from and kind of merging names and so forth.
Quite literally, there is a Floyd's Barbershop and a Floyd the Barber. There's a Snappy Lunch. There was a Wally's Service Station. So it really was kind of art imitates life, pretty literally.
Yeah. Would you have let Floyd cut your hair?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, he...
Nobody's ever accused me of being handsome. Though.
I know, but he just seemed like he was kind of loose with the scissors there because he was a little bit, he was easily distracted.
But, you know, I got to tell you this. Down on the coast of North Carolina is the Outer Banks. They're like these barrier islands. Right. Kitty Hawk, where the Wright brothers flew an airplane. And then on the inland, there's this town called Manteo, where the first English child was born, Virginia Dare, in 1587. Andy Griffith was in a play. There's a play down there called The Lost Colony. It's about Sir Walter Raleigh. And the, but Andy Griffith, when he kind of made it, he built himself a house on the beach down there. Well, near on the sound, really, in Manteo. And one time we were down there on family vacation, and we saw him at the drive-thru at a Hardee's. And
you're not
and we
were like, really?
We did. And he had this old, like, it was a Ford pickup truck, like a 32 Ford pickup. And I was telling my dad, I was like, pull over, that's Andy Griffith. Look, 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 at the drive-thru, that's Andy Griffith. But I didn't get to talk to him.
Well, what age would he have been probably at that time, maybe?
Ooh, I was probably a teenager, so I don't know.
70s?
Maybe in,
60s?
Yeah, early 70s. I did meet, though, check this out. And by the way, y'all are like, this is not the news. This,
right.
But I was at Mount Airy to preach at a couple's banquet. Angie and I went up there, and we go to this hotel. Well, sitting in the hotel was Howard Morris, who played Ernest T. Bass. And he was up there to give a lecture at a college on, you know, he was a kind of famous TV producer besides being this funny character, Ernest T. So we sat in the hotel lobby for like 30 minutes talking to Ernest T. Bass. And that was like the only character that I ever got to meet. But he was super nice. And anyway,
wow.
we North Carolinians, we three things. We love Billy Graham. We love the Wright brothers, and we love Andy Griffith.
And they love basketball, too. Yeah.
Well, that's true. ACC ball is kind of big here.
The basketball, what do they call it, Tobacco Road?
Yeah.
The Tobacco Road there. All right. Let's see. Before the break, we were talking about the, you know, yesterday the presidential debates were announced, and so former President Trump, current President Biden, they're going to debate in the end of what are the dates again?
27th of June,
yeah.
And the 10th of September.
So put it on your calendar, people. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be a high-flying acrobatic act there.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that debate. Now, here's the thing, Fred, we kind of rushed this before the break. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who, I guess, to be generous, is polling at 8 to 10%, maybe.
Yeah, I saw one poll 13%, but
okay. Well, let's just say 10.
Okay,
10%. And he said yesterday, he being Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he said, "Listen, I'm paraphrasing. I qualify. I should be on the debate stage with Biden and Trump. And how are they going to keep him off?"
Well, the thing is, he qualifies under the rules of the debate commission. But the thing is, the debate commission has been shut out of this whole thing. This is this debate that's going to be on CNN and ABC in the fall. It was all worked out between the Biden campaign and CNN and ABC. In other words, the commission rules are off the table.
Okay, so it's not a normal...
No. The CNN debate is going to be in a CNN studio in Atlanta. No audience.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all the conditions that the Biden people and CNN agreed to all of this.
I wonder, though, if CNN would say, or whoever, who's the other one?
Oh,
the other network?
ABC.
If they would invite Kennedy.
I think it was a condition by the Biden administration, the Biden campaign, that no, RFK is not going to be on the stage.
Yeah. Well, Alex, what do you think about this?
Well,
I mean, I'm not asking you, do you agree or disagree with the politics of Robert F. Kennedy? Do you think a 10 to 13% support should be a part of the debate stage with Trump and Biden?
Maybe, and he says he's got, you know, the signatures and the names that qualify him as a viable candidate. You know, an additional conversation is like the Perot effect. I think it was 1992, you know, when Ross Perot ran as a third-party candidate. It basically just siphoned off votes from, yeah, from Bush.
I can't stop doing that.
But, you know, I'm concerned a little bit, although I definitely think
what are you
Donald
concerned
Trump
about?
Well, by taking this away from the Commission on Presidential Debates, it makes it a television product. And CNN is doing this because I guarantee this would be the only thing they do all year that actually gets any good ratings. Mm-hmm. But because CNN's ratings are abysmal because of their left-leaning. But it does sound like the Biden camp has called all the shots mm-hmm. and parameters on mm-hmm. staging this.
Yep.
And Trump trapped
himself, didn't he?
Oh, I don't know. I'll tell you.
No, let me tell you what I mean by that. I'm not criticizing President Trump about he's going to debate, and he should, and it's good for the country, I guess, to hear both sides. I'm just saying Trump said, I'll debate Biden anytime, any place, anywhere.
Yeah.
And when he said that, I think Trump thought Biden will never debate me.
Mm-hmm.
And now Biden said, oh, yeah, I will. And now Trump's trapped. That's the trap word. That's why I got the trap word.
Yeah, I got
trapped
you.
Himself in the conditions of the debates being out of Trump's negotiating control. Yeah. See what
right.
I'm saying?
Yep.
How nice it would have been if he had, you know, added this, you know, caveat in accord with the Commission on Presidential Debates that for four decades plus has handled these things in an equitable way. I mean, will Biden have his own teleprompter? Will he have an earpiece where people are giving him his talking point? I mean, will it be run live, unedited? The raw.
I think you're going to have an. If you're going to have an earpiece, and you're just two people and a moderator, you're going to be caught.
Debate.
Okay,
yeah.
You're going to be. That's not going to work. I think it is. I'm surprised Biden's doing this because I think it is risky for him, more risky for him than it is for Trump.
True.
Don't you? But now I will say this: he may be doing this, Biden. Right? Like you'd comment on this, Biden may be doing this because he's showing he's behind in five of the seven swing states, and it's staying that way. It's not changing.
Nevada was the worst. All the battlegrounds.
Nevada?
Trump was beating him handily even amongst Hispanic voters in Nevada.
Right. So, I mean, if the election were today and you go on these polls, and I think these polls are pretty much real clear politics. In other words, they're a collection of polls. There's not just one poll. They're basically showing the same thing, that Trump is slightly ahead, not enormous, but except maybe in Nevada, slightly ahead in the swing states. And so Biden and his campaign, such that it is, might be saying, you know what, we kind of got to do this because we need something to change the narrative and we need something to push us ahead of Trump, not be behind Trump. So we're in a place where we have to do a, quote, mm-hmm. debate. That may be why he's doing it, because, you know, if Biden bombs because of his, mental decline, then mm-hmm. he's going to be, some say, Ray, that that Biden and the Democrats are doing this because if he does bomb in the debate in June with Trump, that the Democrats will have their convention later and they'll put somebody else up to be the candidate for November.
You know, that's a fascinating thought, that they have the first debate, earliest presidential debate in modern times, way earlier than other presidential debates. But if Trump goes in there, now, my question is, on the other side, is Donald Trump disciplined enough to do the preparation necessary and not just go in there and think he can wing it against Joe Biden? Because I think if Trump does the preparation that he ought to do, and he doesn't always, right? He likes to shoot from the hip, right? But if he is prepared, I think he will handily defeat Joe Biden. The visual image of the two men is going to be so striking. That could set up exactly what you just said, Tim, which would be, we've been speculating for over a year that Joe Biden's not going to be on the ballot.
Right.
So maybe this is a setup for that.
Mm.
Well, yeah. Go ahead. You have some thoughts on that?
Psalm 55:9 is one of the imprecatory psalms. It's praying praying against evil people. And, of course, we want Joe Biden to be saved and know the Lord. But Psalm 55:9, maybe we might pray this. It says, "Confuse them, Lord. Confuse their words and thoughts, for I see violence and strife in the city." And, this is not a partisan or personal thing necessarily, but I'm praying for candidate Trump to do well, and I'm praying for President Biden to do poorly. Not that I have any animus against one or favoritism towards another, but I do care about the future of the country. So I hope this bodes well for candidate Trump and poorly for President
Biden.
Yeah,
listen, I agree. The policies of Trump versus the policies of Biden are like the Gulf of Mexico.
Even Bill Maher acknowledges this.
Yeah, so I'm not talking about the personalities.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the policies. The Gulf is a Gulf. I mean, it's as Alex is citing here. Because I know there may be people listening right now going, how can you call yourself a Christian and support Donald Trump? He's got three marriages. He's got, he's got all these things. And you just say, when you elect a president, yes, would I like somebody like Ronald Reagan? And Ronald Reagan had two marriages. And I'm not saying people can't have more than one marriage and be a bad person. I mean, things happen in people's lives that they can't control. Or that they can control and they just blow it. But you don't hold everything against them for the rest of their life. That's my view. But what I'm saying is there are a lot of things about Trump's personality. He's arrogant. He's pompous. The characteristics that he often displays are 180 degrees contrary to what the scripture says we should behave as us Christians. Okay? I know all that. But we're not electing Sunday school teacher here. We're not electing a pastor. We're not deciding on a deacon or an elder. Mm-hmm. You know, we're deciding on who's going to be the CEO of the leader of the free world. What are my choices?
Amen.
What are my choices?
Yep.
And if your choice is Trump versus Biden, there's no on policy as there's no question because Trump is going to put his judges are going to be good judges that adhere to the Constitution, that he's pro-life, they're pro-life and pro-religious freedom. He's going to defend the Second Amendment. He's not going to use the federal government to go after Christians, as we've got many examples of that right now. Mm-hmm. And on the life issue, I mean, good night. Biden is just pro-abortion. 9 months, baby coming out of the womb, you can still kill it, according to Biden.
Yeah. Harrison Butker guy criticized him for the abortion policy this week.
So Trump's pro-life, okay?
Pro-Israel.
Pro-Israel. Mm. Pro-Israel.
Secure the border.
I mean, on and on and on you can go about how the policies of Trump versus the policies of Biden are a world of difference apart. So, again, I don't want to sound dismissive of somebody's personal character because I think that does matter, and their behavior does matter. But in the end, and we got other issues to talk about, but this is important because a lot of people, we struggle with this in 16. A lot of people struggle with this in 16. I remember when the videotape of Trump came out where he talked about violating a woman and how they let you do that if you're rich and famous. We all remember this. I can't even talk about that. Well, that almost sank Trump with Christians.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Almost sank Trump with Christians. They're going, how can I vote for a man who says something like that? And I understand that.
Uh-huh.
I understand that. But when it comes down to it, you're going to have to – it's binary choice.
Yes.
Okay? It's a binary choice. And you're going to have to choose in November. We're going to have to choose in November. Now, I do think that it will help. While we're on this subject, this is very important because we got a presidential election that could change the direction of our country for the next 20 years, okay? Mm-hmm. Or permanently, who knows? Let me ask you this, Alex. I think it is important who Trump picks for his VP for people like us and people like who are conservatives, who are Christians. I think Trump could greatly benefit from choosing the right person there.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that's true. And, you know, I thought Mike Pence was a great pick at the time because, you know, Trump is the firebrand. He's the,
you know, You need a doormat.
Exactly.
A wallflower.
let me just say this without giving away things that I shouldn't say on national radio.
Okay, this is where we need to pay attention to Alex, people, right here. He said don't listen to what I'm about to say.
Mike Pence and the State Department helped missionaries in China that were at risk of being detained indefinitely by the Communist Chinese Party.
What you mean Pence, Mike Pence? Hold on just a second. I'm sorry to interrupt you. You said Mike Pence, when he was VP.
Yes.
Did what?
There were Christian missionaries in China that the Communist Party had detained from 2 to 6 months, and some that just disappeared, and we don't know what happened to them. And to rescue and bring home some American missionaries in China, Mike Pence and the State Department got involved. It was a wonderful thing. But, yeah, as a counterpart to Trump's bluster and big, huge personality, somebody that's measured and wise, and the quiet, the person who understands the vital role of somebody who's in, you know, second banana. I'd love to give a speech on the great ministry or role of somebody who is second banana. You know what I mean? Mm. And to your point, Tim, I think it's vitally important who is in the VP role. I know people think that VP's just...
Well, they're going to be the next president, probably. Mm-hmm. There's a good likelihood. If Trump wins in November, he's 78. He's going to be 78 in June. Okay.
Yeah.
And so there's a good chance, whether it was constitutionally, he wouldn't be able to be run again. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he would be 82. So, anyway, constitutionally, that's the most important part. Mm-hmm. So whoever his VP pick is will, by de facto, become the Republican nominee for 2028.
I
think that. Now, some have mentioned Ben Carson. Some have mentioned Dr. Ben. Yeah. But lately I've been seeing Senator Marco Rubio.
He's been mentioned a lot.
But can you run, you know, there's a law against two people from the same state being president and VP. Ray, are you familiar with this?
Yeah, and that's going to be a problem. What would Trump do?
Would Trump say, from New York and he's from...
Or New Jersey, maybe?
New Jersey, because he's got a residence.
That was talked about yesterday, and one of the experts on this said there's a way around it. I like Mike Pompeo as a vice
president. Yeah, I do too, but I don't know. Has he come out and endorsed Trump?
No. Well, he's okay
with... He didn't in the primary.
Yeah, he's okay with Trump. I just think he's got this quiet, he's intelligent. He did a great job as Secretary of State in the first administration. I like Tim Scott too.
Yeah, Tim Scott, Senator for South Carolina. Go ahead, Ray. You were going to say.
Well, of all of those, Rubio has a lot of experience.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
he'd be an excellent choice. I wonder if Tim Scott is forceful enough. You know, I listened to him speak. He's rather mild mannered, and I think Trump wants somebody who will speak force. What about? Okay, I hear some people saying Vivek. Yeah. What do you think?
Wow. I think Vivek's too big a personality.
I
think he will pick somebody to the opposite of his personality.
This Vivek is dynamite.
The debate between Ramaswamy and Vice President Harris would be TV gold.
Oh my word!
Yeah, I mean,
oh listen, that would be fabulous to watch, wouldn't it?
I pay money for that.
I wonder. Well, you know. I don't know. That Vivek Ramaswamy is dynamite as a public speaker.
Yeah.
You know, I agree with almost everything he says. I can't think of anything I disagree with right now.
I think it's a given he'll have a cabinet position.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. You know, none of us have mentioned a female.
Well, you know,
It's not going to be Nikki Haley, I don't think.
Bird brain.
She has not endorsed him. She wished him well or whatever in her farewell speech when she quit, but she didn't endorse
him. Well, no. That was talk of that.
I think Kristi Noem also shot down her chances.
I see what you did there. Well, you know, I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters. You know, Trump does have a deficit with women in terms of, there was a joke there, but I'm not going to use it. Because we're all thinking it.
What about Sarah Huckabee?
He needs a good qualified woman would help his ticket. That is true. I think that would help his ticket with the independents. Yeah. What did you say?
Mm-hmm. What about Sarah Huckabee?
Yeah, but she's like a first-time governor. She just became governor 2 years ago, yeah. Right?
She'd be good.
Oh, yeah, she's great. I love her. But I don't think you take her out. You know, she just – if she was a two-term governor, I could maybe see that. I don't know. We'll wait and see. But what am I hearing in the background? Is anybody else hearing? Is this
the church bells? My office at Southside Baptist.
Oh, that's the church bells?
The nice. Church bells.
Nice.
I was about to say, I don't hear anything. Should I be?
Well, I thought it was my time.
I heard it.
I was sitting thinking to myself, maybe it's my time
Tim,
to go here.
Go to the upper room.
The bells are ringing.
The bells are ringing, and maybe I'm going to be – maybe that's what you hear right before
come
you leave.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Hey, was I the only one hearing that?
No, I heard it too.
Alex heard it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he's right there.
Living at the foot of the cross.
Okay. So you're doing your broadcast from the church that we heard the bells ringing there.
Yes, sir.
Nice.
All right. Can you got to go somewhere? Or can you hang around, Alex?
I can stay.
Because we never got to the story we asked you to come on and comment on. So
okay.
We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.